It may not be a good thing I made a few notes. Not really. You know, I thought about a lot this week, what I could speak to you about. I've known it for a while, and I've read a lot of things. I've been doing a lot of reading, as Billy will contest. And I looked over the lectionary. The lectionary came from Haggai, and even read the scripture and wrote out a little sermon based on the scripture. But I just didn't like that because something kept coming back to me about this new covenant and the cross. You know, Billy once said that I do my best sermons when I talk about love. But the cross is such a symbol of love, but it's so tied with the new covenant that I thought maybe this morning I would just speak a few words about the new covenant. And later on in the week, an epiphany came to me or something that maybe I should entitle this sermon Extreme Makeover. So I don't know. Because it does sound like that when we go from the old covenant to the new covenant, we know that the testament means covenant. So the Old Testament basically covered the old covenant, and we've been studying that in our Bible study here in the adult class. We've also been studying it in the Bible study that I'm attending Fuquay. But most of us that have studied the Bible, and I'm not to assume that everybody has. That's one thing they taught us when we were talking about preaching, is not to assume everybody has read the Bible, not to assume that everybody knows what you're talking about. So sometimes you had to explain things, and some people say, well, I know all about that, but then some people was new to them. But the covenant that God made with Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Isaac and the saints of the Old Testament just didn't work. And God knew this was not going to work. This is the interesting thing. He knew it wasn't going to work. So long before the beginning, I think even of the earth, you can go back and find this in the Bible, Jesus and God talked about what he was going to have to do. That he was going to have to go and come to earth as a sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus accepted that. And so this new covenant is a promise that God made to us. He gave it to us. And it's through this covenant that Jesus Christ is the one that imparts the covenant to us. And it contains a lot of promises. When the old covenant failed, because under the old covenant, you were to do works. It was a covenant of works. That if you worked, if you obeyed the laws of Moses, then you were right with God. You were right. You counted as righteous. But throughout Jesus' ministry, he pointed out the flaw in that. That you've got to go beyond the works. He said, I didn't come to destroy this law now, but I came to make it different. And if you look at the Hebrew scripture there, it was more than just writing it on a tablet or having it written down somewhere. If you go and look at the scripture, he said that he would write it in their hearts. It'd be written in their hearts. And that he would be with them. And that he would always, the foundation of this covenant was in the heart, not on a tablet of stones or laws. And he said, I'm going to be your God. That's in verse 10 of chapter 8, that I'm going to be your God. And the word God is so important because it was a comforting thing to people back then to have a God. They had God for fertility, had God for rains, they had gods for different things. In other words, that their God was their comfort. And he said, I'm going to be that comfort for you. And it's going to start in your heart. And he says in verse 11 that we will get more acquainted with him. In other words, it's not going to be just memorizing a set of rules. It's going to be a personal thing. He says, they shall know me from the least to the greatest. They will trust me. and he will build a better trust. And there'll be more teachers than just the priest. You know, he said there'll be people all over that will share my word with others. You know, and then he said in verse 12, he says, I will pardon their sins. I will pardon their sins, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, he says. You know, and again, all of this starts not from anything that we do. It's a gift from God. It's God's graces. And I talked about the thing about extreme makeover. We can be a Sunday school teacher. We can be a preacher. We can be the best, I guess, church member. But it's in the heart, and it's what we do that's important. And when I talk about extreme makeover, we have all sorts of extreme makeovers on TV. We see these pictures of these people before and after. Some of them have their hair cut and new clothes. Some of them have a little cosmetic surgery. And they look so much different. But I wonder how long that lasts. How long they before they get used to this and want something else. If you follow what I'm talking about, is it always seems that when you work on the outside, you're not ever satisfied. If you paint your house one color, you think you like it, but you're going to change it probably. If you rearrange your furniture, you're probably going to change it because you think it makes it look different. Or you change a room, and you've got that, what, the makeover of a room. They go in and they change the room. We've seen it on television. It looks really bad. And they put all these nice things. It looks wonderful when the people come back in. They take them away and bring them back. And this is what I think the New Covenant does. It gives us an extreme makeover, but it's not an outward makeover. It's an inward makeover. And as I said, Paul said in Romans 12, the second chapter, because a lot of people, they look at worldly values more than kingdom values. And this is, and I'll get to that in a minute about the scripture, but the Old Testament was more of worldly things. How I look to the world. Remember Jesus talked about the Pharisees standing on the corner praying so everybody could see them. So they wanted that credit. They tried to do everything so perfect and look that they were the best Pharisee of all Pharisees. But all that was not what God wanted. God wanted us. He wanted you and me to give our hearts to Him. And Paul said in Romans 12, the second chapter, says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Or made over by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and be approved to approve what God's will is, and His good blessings and His perfect will. So sometimes I struggle about that. I struggle about, you know, maybe I'm not really pouring myself into it because I can't seem to understand what God's will is. And that's simply because I still got a lot of myself in there. And I had to give up that in order to be that way. And another thing, too, is that when you look at the outward appearance, most people is going to judge somebody by the outward appearance. You know, God doesn't care about how overweight we are. He doesn't care what shape our bodies are. He sees the person inside. If he looks across this room this morning, if he was up here in my place, he would see each one of us as a beautiful creation. And when we start comparing things and saying somebody's prettier than somebody else, God doesn't do that. God just looks at us. That's what the New Testament, New Covenant's about. That Jesus Christ gave us that in order that we actually, God gave it to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ imparts it into us. And what He gave us and what God gave Jesus Christ for us, of course, some things to help us with that. One, of course, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power, just like when God helped the Old Testament folks. He helped them. He gave did miracles and performed things for them, the Holy Spirit does for us today. He said, he says that I will always be with you. I will not leave you. And he says, I will lift you up. That's what he told Jesus Christ, and he did. And when Jesus Christ died and buried, he lifted him up, and he placed him in heaven. And he says, after your work is finished, I'll bring you back home to glory. And that's what he did to Jesus Christ. If you look at that, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was poured out on Jesus Christ. Remember when he was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit dove came down. And the ministry he did, God was with him every step of the way. Even when sometimes you might be getting discouraged, he says, I'm going to be with you. And he says, I will exalt you. And that's what it is. He exalts us in our Christian faith. Another thing that talking about extreme makeovers, we have extreme sports, we have extreme dating, we have all these extremes. I would like to see sometime extreme Christianity. About extreme Christianity. And it's kind of difficult. And I was speaking this morning in Sunday school class. We have some problems. I have some problems sometimes. One of the things that a lot of people don't grasp hold of is that we're born into a sinful world. We can't help it. And I share with them that children are not taught to be cruel and mean to one another. If you notice little children, they seem to learn it naturally. They start taking things away from one another. You know, they start hitting on one another. Nobody taught them to do that. Nobody says, why don't you take his toys? Why don't you hit him? It just comes natural to them. Well, see, that's what we've got to realize, that it comes natural. And we cannot overcome the natural man by ourselves. That's why we have to call upon the Holy Spirit to help us. also, as I said earlier, God says there's no ugly people. We're all beautiful to him. And why? Because what did Genesis say we were created? In his what? Image. So he sees us in him. Sees him in us, rather, excuse me. And as I said, God offers to make us totally different through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody tries so hard with theologies and with different things. And as I said, and as I look back at the Old Testament covenant, they made it so difficult. All those 600 and some rules that the Pharisees made up that you had to follow. Just about impossible to follow all those. And we seem to do that today, even in our Christian churches. We start saying, well, you've got to dress a certain way. You got to look a certain way. I read this week somewhere an article about this. It said that what if a girl came in and somebody knew what I'm talking about. She had black lipstick on, you know, wearing all black. And she came in your church, had a short skirt on, of course, came in your church. And she went down to the altar. Well, now, there'd be somebody in that church who would say, now, look, you can't come dressed that way anymore. You've got to have a long skirt, and you can't wear that black makeup. Or a young man comes in, kind of dirty, maybe not clean, but you smell a little alcohol in his breath. But he comes to the altar. And I say when they come to the altar, they're seeking God. They're seeking something else. Are we going to say, well, you can't come to church dressed that way. You can't come with alcohol in your breath. You see, we're doing just like the Pharisees did. We're putting rules and regulations on people. We've got to love them just as they are. And that's a very difficult thing for a lot of us to do because we've got our own idea of what's supposed to be. And I don't think that's what the New Testament did. New Covenant did, excuse me, is that it provided a transformation. A transformation is all we've got to do, and it sounds so simple. It's not hard, is to believe in Jesus Christ that he died on that cross for us. And you know, I told you a while ago that in that Hebrews, he said that your sins would be pardoned. He pardons them. He doesn't remember them anymore. They're gone. What we do is that with that new heart is we become a different person. We don't want to disappoint God. We don't want to steal. We don't want to lie. We don't want to cheat. We don't want to drink. We don't want to run around on our wives or whatever. We want to just serve and be a good husband, a good person, good to everybody, because it's coming from our heart. It's nothing from the outside. And he gave the perfect example, because they said, now, the disciples asked him that question. Go back in Matthew. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Is it going to be that guy with Sunday school pens all the way down to here? You've seen the people used to wear the Sunday school pens that have 12 or 15 of those things, years of attendance. Or is it going to be the deacon of the church? Who's it going to be? He said, no, here it is right here. Bring this little child up here. We've got to have the trusting, childlike faith that a child had. What did the children do to Jesus all the time? They came and hugged him. They came and loved him. They didn't come any other way but just with their open arms. And that's what he's asking us to do, is to come to him. And he will make us part of him. As I said earlier, he told Jesus, he said, I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to take you to heaven with me. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to do to you and I. Because he's going to come back one day. Could be today. Could be this afternoon. And he's going to reach down. And he's going to take each one of us. You say he can't take everybody hand by hand, but he can. God can do anything. And he's going to take us to heaven with him. And he's going to present us to his heavenly Father. And we're going to be with him in glory forever. If we accept him as our Lord and Savior, that's all it is. That's all it takes. Doesn't take any long, elaborate rules and regulations. It's just that simple. It's not a, what was that commercial? It's not a complicated thing. I can't visit telephone commercial or something in it. He says, it's not complicated. It's just that simple. And lastly, leave this with you, is the fact that God loves you so much. He gave his son for you. And we don't have to do anything. It's all free. We don't have to pay anything for it. We don't have to do any works. The works come natural through our relationship with our Lord and Savior as we become one with him. And as far as our lives go, you don't have to go out and tell everybody you're a great Christian. You don't have to go out and tell everybody that you love the Lord. Your life will show that. I watched a commercial not too long ago, and I don't remember what it was about. But they never would tell me what it was about. They just kept showing it. And I finally figured out what it was. And you know, they didn't say it in words. It was just their actions. It's what they were showing. That you say, oh, that's what it is. You know, it's a soap commercial. It's a car commercial. I think it was a car commercial. And just driving around a car. They never say this is a car commercial. But you finally realize at the end that, hey, they were advertising that car. Because the people liked it and the people enjoyed it. And that's the way it is with our faith. If we live the new covenant, which the cross represents, the new covenant, it's as simple as that. God died on the cross for our sins, and we accept that, then we will be with him when he comes back to take us home. And we will have that new makeover. Not an outward, we may still look the same, but our attitudes will change. People will say, what happened to him? He's nicer. He's more loving. He's more caring. He's more giving. He's coming to church. He's going to Bible study. He's reading his Bible because he's accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and trying to grow more like Christ each and every day. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that you came to us in the form of a baby, dear Heavenly Father, in form of a child. Children were special to you, dear Heavenly Father. And I think that's one of the reasons why you chose to send your son as a child and to grow up, dear Heavenly Father. But yet, he knew his responsibility. He knew what he had to do. He had to face that cruel cross. But you promised him, You gave him a covenant that if he would do this, that you would send him, that you would have the Holy Spirit with him, that you would be with him every step of the way, and that you would exalt him, and that you would take him home back into heaven where he was to be glorified as he once was. And that's the promise we have, dear Heavenly Father, when we become one with you. I know in the Bible, dear Heavenly Father, when Jesus prayed that prayer, and he said, Father, may they become one with me as I am with you. Give us that makeover today, dear Heavenly Father, in our hearts, so that we, dear Heavenly Father, can be a new creature, a new person in Christ. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, there are some here today that's not made that decision, that they will do that this morning, dear Heavenly Father, before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for the opportunity I've had to come. I know my words seem rambling sometimes, dear Heavenly Father, and they're not together as they should be, but I praise you for each and every word I've said. I praise you for the words that we read from the Bible. Go with us now as we go our separate ways, dear Heavenly Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is